Hello, Podheads, and welcome back. I missed you guys.
Hello.
He's back.
I'm back. I'm a little sick, so I apologize for my voice, but I want to talk to you guys about a case that's been on my mind for years and years. There's been some recent developments, so I figured now would be a good time to catch everyone up. So this case's ruling is something most people don't agree with. This includes the family of the victim, who are still battling in the court system and need our support. This is the story of Ellen Greenberg, a young and vibrant first grade teacher whose death has been a topic of debate for 14 years. January 26, 2011 started out as a normal day for everyone in Philadelphia. Ellen, who was 27, called her mom on the way to work at a local elementary school. Ellen was a first grade teacher, having been there 2 years after graduating from Penn State and later getting her master's in teaching credentials at Temple. Like every teacher in America, Ellen had been overwhelmed and stressed. She recently had opened up to her parents about wanting to quit, not sure if she was made out for it. She worked at an underperforming school in an impoverished area where her students weren't doing well and it was taking a toll on her. After some talking, Ellen decided to brave it out for a bit more until she figured out what the next step would be. Besides, now wasn't the right time to find a new job. It was the middle of the school year, and Ellen and her fiance, Samuel Goldberg, had a wedding planned for August. So she headed off to work until about noon. That day, a big blizzard hit Philly, and the entire district had been dismissed, sending all the students and staff home until things cleared up. Ellen got home to her luxury condo she shared with her fiance, Sam, a bit later. Some articles I found said that the couple were heard arguing about this time, and then some say no one heard a peep, so I'm not sure what's true. So just putting both out there. Either way, a little before 5 p.m., Sam headed downstairs to the condo's in-house gym. He said he was there for about 30 to 45 minutes before taking the elevator up the 6 floors to their condo, but he couldn't get into the apartment. Every door in the building was activated with key cards, but the main doors into each condo also had swing locks. So like, on the back of like the hotel door, there's like a little knob and then like the U hook.
Yes.
That's on the back of like the entrance to each condo. Over the course of about 30 minutes, Sam kept texting Ellen to unlock the door and let him in, but there was no response. From the official police report, Sam sent 9 separate one-line texts. They read, "Hello, open the door. What are you doing? Hello, you better have an excuse. What the fuck? Ah, and you have no idea." In between sending these texts, Sam also went back down to the lobby twice to get help from the security guard, Phil. He kept asking for some backup or some way to get into the apartment, but the security guard said there was nothing he could do. It was against company policy to break down the door, and there was no tool that he had that could just open that one lock. He told Sam he could break down his own door if he wanted to, but he would have to pay to fix it.
I guess I see like maybe why he's mad, because not that mad. I don't think that's a little ridiculous, but I think that to have that U lock, whatever you called it, in place, someone has to be inside. So he's probably thinking like, oh, she's ignoring me.
Yeah, especially if like they did have a fight earlier and you went down to the gym and then your partner locks you out of your apartment. I'd be pissed.
Yeah, I
I'd
could
be
see that.
pissed.
Wow.
Yeah. So Sam went back up again and he tried to pick and jimmy the lock with no success. He somehow broke the lock and got into the apartment. Once inside, it was around 6:30 p.m. and directly to the right, once you entered the apartment, was the kitchen. And this is where Sam found his fiancée Ellen on her back lying in a pool of blood. So I'm going to play you guys the two calls Sam made to 911 after discovering Ellen. I couldn't figure out if the call dropped or if he hung up and spoke to another operator because honestly, the first operator was a little rude, but I'll let you guys listen.
I just walked to my apartment. My fiance's on the floor with blood everywhere.
What is the address?
4601 Flat Rock Road. Please come. Help.
4601
Flat Rock Road.
Is this a house or apartment?
Oh, no.
Apartment.
It's an apartment.
What apartment number?
Please hurry,
where
please.
Is she bleeding from?
I don't know. I can't tell. She's.
No. So you have to calm yourself down in order to get you some help.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. She.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm looking at her right now. I can't see anything. She didn't. There's nothing broken. She's bleeding. Ellie.
You don't know where she's bleeding from. Can't tell where the blood's coming from.
It's, I think her head. I think she hit her head, I think. But it's not everywhere. Okay, it's everywhere.
She might have fallen. Do you know what happened?
She may have slipped. There's blood on the table. Her face is a little purple.
Okay, hold on for rescue for her. Stay on the phone.
Philadelphia Fire Department 842.
What's the address?
No, 4601 Flat Rock Road. Please hurry.
4601 Flat Rock?
Yes.
What's wrong?
I went downstairs to go work out. I came back up. The door was latched. My fiance's inside. She wasn't answering. So after about a half hour, I decided to break it down. I see her now, just on the floor, blood. She's not responding.
Okay, is she breathing? Look at her chest. I need you to calm down, and I need you to look at her chest. It's really.
I don't think she is. I really don't think she is.
Listen to me. Someone's on the way. Look at her chest. Is she flat on her back?
She's on her back.
Look at her chest and tell me if it's going up and down, up and down.
I don't see her moving.
Okay, do you know how to do CPR?
I don't.
Okay, I can tell you what to do, okay, until they get there. I want you to keep her flat.
Oh, God.
Hello?
Yeah, hi, okay.
Are you willing to do CPR with me over the phone until they get there?
I have to, right?
Okay, so get her flat on her back, bare her chest, okay? You want to rip her shirt off. Okay, she needs to kneel down by her side.
Oh, my God. Ellie, please.
Listen, you can't freak out, sir, because you
okay, I'm trying not to. I'm trying not to. Her shirt won't come off. It's a zipper.
Rip
my God, she stabbed herself.
Where?
She fell with a knife. Oh, no, her knife's sticking out.
Her what?
There's a knife sticking out of her heart.
Oh, she stabbed herself?
I guess so. I don't know where she fell on it. I don't know.
Okay, well, don't touch it.
Okay, so I just let her down here now? I mean, what do I do?
No, I mean, you can't. If the knife is in her chest, it's going to be kind of hard for you to do CPR at this time.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Police, which operator?
277.
Is someone coming here?
Yes, they are. You said 4601 Flat Rock, right?
Yes.
Okay, someone's on the way. And the knife is still inside?
Wait, sir, what?
The knife is still inside of her?
Yes, I didn't take it out.
Was it her chest or what area?
It's in her chest. It looks like it's right in her heart.
Okay, someone's on the way out there. Okay, just get
your door open. Oh my God. Okay,
how old is she?
She's 27.
27. And there's no sign of life at all?
No, please don't be. What?
Bend her under her arm and tell me if she responds to pain.
She's. Ellie! She's not. Her arm, her hands are still warm. I don't know if that means. But there's blood everywhere. I mean.
I know, but you can't, and the knife is still inside of her. How far? Can you see how far it went in?
It looks pretty deep.
Okay.
It looks three, and it's a long knife.
Don't touch anything.
Yeah, don't touch anything, okay?
I'm not touching anything. I can't believe this, though.
No, wait, it was just you there with her?
We're the only ones here.
And she ran in the door, you said, latched it shut?
No, I went downstairs to work out, and when I came back up, the door was latched.
Oh.
Like, it was, you know, it wasn't like, you know, it was like locked from the inside, and I'm yelling. And I saw him, you know, yelling.
Was your house broken into?
No.
So there's no sign of a break-in?
No sign of a break-in at all. I mean, there will be when you get here because I had to break the latch, but.
The operator's like, okay, can you, like, do CPR? Like, he doesn't make any mention of the blood. She's like, can you do CPR? And she's trying to, like, instruct him how to do CPR. And then he's like, oh, there's a knife in her chest. Made no mention of that earlier.
Yeah, you would have, you 1,000% would have seen that.
I think that's something that I would bring up, maybe.
I think she stabbed herself. Like, didn't say, like, oh, someone stabbed her. I think she stabbed herself.
That's never would be my first thought. Okay. I feel like everybody always says everyone responds differently, but I don't think I'd be very descriptive in that moment.
So the 911 operator does ask Sam if there's any signs of someone breaking into the apartment after he suggested that she stabbed herself or that she fell on the knife. Sam is like, well, I broke down the door, but that's it. Police and EMS arrived a few minutes later, and Ellen Greenberg was pronounced dead upon their arrival at 6:40 p.m. At the scene, it was noted that Ellen had blood on her neck, head, hands, and the top and soles of the boot she was wearing. The only other signs of blood in the condo were a couple drops on the kitchen counter near where she was. But In Sam's 911 call, he said she's like laying flat on her back on the kitchen floor. When EMS and police arrive, she's kind of propped up against the cabinet, the lower cabinets.
That's a big difference.
Yes. He didn't make any mention that he moved her. I don't know if he explained that in like police interviews, but I couldn't figure out why there was a difference. In the kitchen, the knife block was toppled over with a fuse spilled out onto the counter and into the sink. The one missing knife from the set was in Ellen's chest, right by her heart, and her right hand was holding it, closed in a fist. The other hand held a white towel, which didn't have much blood on it. There was a strainer with freshly cut blueberries and oranges on the counter, suggesting she was in the middle of cutting up some fruit. The rest of the condo was normal and tidy, nothing awry, nothing stolen. The apartment was on the sixth floor, and it did have a balcony, but it was practically impossible to scale up and enter that way. And also, it was snowing. There was no footprints out on the balcony. While police are looking over the scene and transporting Ellen's body, Sam calls her parents before being taken into the station for a formal interview. He was noted to be very cooperative and agreed to do a physical exam. So they look over his body, and he doesn't have any cuts, bruises, blood, wounds, nothing. Sam said Ellen had been anxious and stressed lately, and especially that day. Grades were due the next day, and Ellen was behind on getting them in. She had been trying to finish everything that day, but just couldn't seem to focus. Police found Ellen's phone in the bedroom, and all of his texts and calls lined up with his story. Ellen also hadn't made any calls or sent any texts after 3:40 p.m. Ellen's parents, Sandy and Josh, weren't able to get to Philadelphia from Harrisburg until the next morning because of the blizzard. Sandy spoke with investigators about her daughter's state of mind and mental health. Because in the nightstand, police found Xanax, Klonopin, and Ambien. In her purse was a notebook where Ellen had been tracking her mood on a daily basis. Sandy was like, she's been dealing with anxiety. She's kind of stressed out at work. She is seeing a psychiatrist, but nothing crazy. Zero concern for suicidal thoughts. Ellen's autopsy began the same day she was found, and there was a lot to note. I'm going to send you guys a little graphic rendering of where each of these stab wounds were.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Ellen had been stabbed 20 times, 8 to the chest, 10 to the neck, once to the abdomen, and once to the scalp. Most of the stab wounds were not deep, not even a centimeter, but the final fatal wound was the one to the chest where the knife still was. It was 4 inches deep.
I feel like that's an issue for me with him saying that she had a stab wound in her chest, or he thought that she did stabbed herself. Like, okay.
The renderings of the stab wounds is nuts. I mean, right there, that tells you she did not kill herself at any time. She was killed 1,000%.
There would have been so much blood. It would have been
very obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have all this to the back of your head and scalp. If you're going to stab yourself, like, that doesn't make any sense to stab yourself in the back of the neck.
And I don't really think you can to that depth, you know, like.
No.
Or angle, you know, they'll have everything with how far, how deep, how blah, 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 you know?
Yeah, you can't do like a straight angle from behind.
Absolutely not.
No. So the medical examiner said that Ellen's spinal cord had been stabbed. And Dr. Marlon Osborne said that where her spinal cord was stabbed, it would have caused Ellen to not feel pain after that. Hence why she was able to continue to stab herself. The medical examiner, Dr. Marlon Osborne, noted that Ellen did not have any defensive wounds, like a cut to the palm one might get when trying to wrestle a knife from an attacker. She did, however, have various bruises and different stages of healing on her arms, legs, wrists, and abdomen. These bruises or any type of question regarding where they came from was never brought up in Sam's interviews. In her system, Ellen had low doses of Klonopin and Ambien, which matched up with the prescribed amount she was taking. DNA taken from Ellen's clothes only came back as a match to hers. In the end, the medical examiner ruled Ellen's death as a homicide. During the autopsy, though, Sam had been acting a bit strange. He sent his cousin and uncle to the condo to grab some things. He's like, I want you to grab a couple of Ellen's things for the funeral. But he told them to get her clothes, pictures, her purse, her phone, computers, car keys, and her engagement ring.
I'm sorry. Did he think she was just taking a trip to the hospital to come back? Like,
that's
you don't need those for a funeral.
Mm-mm.
At all. No. Cousin and uncle, they go to the condo. The property manager's like, I don't think you should go in there. It's a crime scene. The cousin and uncle call the police and they're like, oh, it's fine. Go ahead. So they take the things. They also deep cleaned and sanitized the whole condo.
Who did?
The cousin and uncle.
How is that allowed?
I don't know. This is not even 12 hours after Ellen died.
Wait, remind me one more time. The cousin and uncle, is that on his side or her side?
His side, Sam's.
Okay, well, not to mention how despicable it is that the police let them do that. But the fact, like, why would that even be in your mind to go and disinfect this apartment and, like, do that? You would be thinking, like, I want to catch the person that, you know?
No, because the nephew and the cousin knew that the boyfriend had killed
her. Well, yeah. But, I mean, if you were an innocent person, I'm saying that would not be in your mindset right. to do something yeah, like that yeah. in a time of turmoil.
Even if it, like, was 100% a suicide, I wouldn't be going in and cleaning out the condo the next day.
No.
I wouldn't be going in, period.
No.
You know, like, until everything was done. Like, that's just nuts to me. No. The cousin and uncle come back later. On Friday, January 28th, so this is 2 days after Ellen's death, police obtained a search warrant for the condo. So now the autopsy results have come in. They're like, okay, it's a homicide. Maybe we'll investigate now, because the crime scene unit was never called in on the day that they arrived when Ellen died. Because they're like, oh, Sam said it was a suicide. So it's a suicide.
I just assumed if someone is dead, crime scene stuff has to come in.
You would think.
Especially, you know, if you're stabbed multiple times. Yeah, this seems so obvious to me. It's dumb, but okay.
Yeah. This is going to blow our mind. I just have a feeling it's just going to be like, it was her, you know, or something. I don't know. The condo's clean, sanitized. There's nothing there. Same day was Ellen's funeral back in her hometown of Harrisburg. At the funeral, her dad, Josh, announced that it was officially a homicide case. His daughter had been murdered. After the funeral, everyone gathered at her grandmother's house, and Josh cornered Sam, saying, you're the prime suspect, buddy. And apparently Sam began to cry, and he left.
Oh.
Neither Sam nor any of his family members sat Shiva with Ellen's family, so everyone's Jewish in the story. Sitting Shiva is like this, like, 7-day mourning period that the family does. You kind of just rest at home. Everyone stays in the same house, and then other people will come and bring you food and chit chat. So considering how close everyone was, like, Sam and Ellen were engaged, everyone seemed to like him, and everyone was pretty religious. It was definitely odd that Sam did not participate. So while Ellen's family was sitting Shiva, homicide detectives were meeting with the medical examiner. And this wasn't a, hey, let's go over what you got and get the guy. They wanted the medical examiner to change the manner of death from homicide to suicide.
I'm sorry. What?
So their reasoning was, there's no defensive wounds, no sign of a break-in.
Doesn't matter.
Sam's whereabouts at the gym can be accounted for and on security cameras, and no one scaled up the balcony to break in. And they also had spoken to Ellen's psychiatrist, who had only seen her 3 times. The psychiatrist confirmed she had diagnosed Ellen with adjustment disorder with anxiety, and she had prescribed those medications, which do have suicidal thoughts listed as a potential side effect. The notes from these therapy appointments were later admitted into evidence, so they're pretty short, so I'm going to read them. January 12th read, quote, want things in control, my whole life, hard worker, anxious, not sleeping, job sucks, end quote. January 17th read, quote, she wants to quit, but mom and fiance don't want her to. She can get out of contract with 2 weeks' notice. When she starts to work on something, she starts thinking about everything else. Not suicidal, end quote. The final note from January 19th said, way better, feels 75% better. Agree she should just get through till June. She tends to walk around compulsively neatening up, end quote. So the homicide detectives were like, she's a crazy person. She's on all these medicines. She's seen a psychiatrist. Obviously, she killed herself. And they convinced the medical examiner to change it from homicide to suicide.
They did it?
Yes.
Insane. Is this a thing where you can just go convince a medical examiner to change something? Like a non-medic? Like, no, that's not a thing. Also, what medication doesn't have a side effect of suicide? Like, suicidal thoughts?
I think literally, even in the Ozempic commercials, there's suicide. Like, everything has
everything.
Everything
and does. Her problems were something very normal that you would go see a psychiatrist for. They're not something that's life threatening.
Yeah, no, like, she's having anxiety and she's stressed out at work. She's not, like, in psychosis.
They do this shit all the time. Blame mental health issues, which are real, obviously, but...
How do you convince them to change the manner of death? Like, that's a police investigation kind of thing. I don't understand that.
I guess because they do work together. Medical examiner, like, they'll have the body. They'll have, like, the crime scene photos. But they don't have, like, everything surrounding... like that person's life.
I still just on. I really just think based off of the wounds that it would be,
yeah,
not suicide.
And I think that's like with just the wounds and looking at the body,
right?
The medical examiner was like, and oh, nothing homicide. Else. Yep. But then the police are like, oh, she was crazy and suicidal.
Yeah. A layperson could look at that and see that it wasn't suicide
for sure. So Ellen's family heard about this change while watching the news. While sitting shiva.
Oh my God.
So they didn't even get the decency of being told this by investigators. But immediately Ellen's parents were like, no, she didn't commit suicide. They started to dig into this more. And since the case was closed as suicide, police weren't investigating. Ellen's parents found out from friends that Sam was kind of controlling. Anytime a friend asked Ellen if she wanted to go out to grab a drink or even a quick lunch, Ellen would be like, hold on, I have to ask Sam. Ellen's cousin and a friend reported that she sometimes would just come over and sleep in their guest rooms, but not say why she was there or open up at all. Her cousin also said one time she asked Ellen for help with covering a blemish. Ellen recommended a certain brand and said that it was good for covering up bruises. And that stuck with her cousin. Another weird thing that raised their suspicions about Sam was when Ellen's parents asked the police for her belongings. The police were like, oh, Sam and his family have all of her things. Eventually, Ellen's family was able to grab these things. And when they got her purse, they found a receipt for a gas station showing Ellen had stopped and filled up her tank after leaving work that day. Crime scene photos also showed that Ellen's makeup case and a toiletry bag were on the bathroom counter, as if she had been about to pack them. All of this coupled with the fact that Ellen had her winter boots on inside made them believe she was about to leave. To them, this was just another sign that Ellen didn't commit suicide.
I mean, it's not devil's advocate because none of it makes sense anyways, but I do know people who wear shoes in the house. Kind of thing. I personally do not, but to have your boots on would be a little weird. But the whole bag packing thing is a big, big flag.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the biggest flag, I haven't told you guys yet. If you remember the knife in Ellen's chest and her right hand was holding it, Ellen was left-handed.
Come on, man. Like, I don't, this is blowing my mind. I don't even care if it was the boyfriend. It wasn't suicide.
After Ellen's parents get her things, I don't know if they turn over all of the items to police or if Sam's family did, but once police look at Sam's phone call history, it showed a different story than what he said. Before he called 911, he called his cousin and uncle, who are lawyers, first.
Boom. Told you. They knew. What was going on? Also, didn't know the fact that they were lawyers. That kind of puts some stuff into perspective, but they cleaved. They had to have known.
Yes. Yeah. So this is a statement from the cousin and uncle's lawyer. So the lawyer's lawyer to CNN. Okay.
Yep.
So Kami Ann Schwartzman is Sam's cousin and James is his uncle. So it reads, quote, indeed, Sam Goldberg did call Kami Ann Schwartzman to let him know he was locked out of his apartment and that Ellen was not responding to repeated telephone calls and texts from Sam to let him in. Kamian, who was living at his parents' home at the time, put the call on speaker so that James Schwartzman could listen in as Sam was sitting on the floor in the hallway outside his apartment where several tenants saw him. After some period of time, James and Kamian suggested that Sam go downstairs and ask the security guard to let him in the apartment. In a subsequent call between the Schwartzmans and Sam Goldberg, after being told that Sam went to the security guard and asked for assistance, but the security guard either would not or could not help, Sam went back up to the apartment, and Kamin and James instructed Sam to force his way in. In fact, Sam was still on the phone when he broke down the door and forced his way into the apartment, and James and Kamin heard Sam scream hysterically on the phone. At that time, James and Kamin Schwartzman instructed Sam Goldberg to call 911, which he did immediately, end quote. Which, spoiler alert, is not true.
Oh, love that.
From Sam's cell phone, he called them at 6:14 p.m., which is backed up by a video surveillance of him in the condo, walking up to the back and forth between the condo and the security guard downstairs. At 6:26 p.m., Sam receives a call from the landline that he had called. That phone call lasted 12 seconds. He hangs up. Video surveillance shows him getting onto the elevator, go back up to the condo. So he gets off of the elevator at 6:29. He calls 911 at 6:30. So he was not on the phone with his cousin and uncle when he broke down the door.
Yeah, you're going to have to tell me why people disagree with this, because this is pretty crazy.
You would think. So another red flag about the door came from the property manager, who told reporters that it was a common issue in the building that if you close the door like hard and fast enough, the swing lock would engage. And it was kind of like a common problem that tenants would be locked out of their apartment. And like even the property manager was like, I've done it before to my own place. So despite these red flags, police were still not opening the case back up. And the Greenberg family had to hire their own experts. Attorney Walter Cohen and private investigator Tom Brennan took on the case and began to push the district attorney's office to re-examine it. They filed public records requests in order to get all the crime scene reports and autopsies, but the police wouldn't release them. They could go into the station, look at them, but they weren't allowed to leave with them, make copies, or even take photos of the reports. Despite this, the team was convinced with everything they saw, this was not a suicide, it was a blitz attack. The first clue was the fact that the knife Ellen was still holding when she was found was in her right hand, and Ellen was left-handed. The information from the autopsy and photos of the crime scene were sent to a new pathologist, Dr. Weck, who confirmed that the stab wounds were likely not self-inflicted. We've talked about Dr. Weck before, I think. He's that, like, really famous pathologist. Like, he did, like, JFK and Elvis, yeah. Sharon Tate, all the big ones. And I'm sad to report he passed away.
Oh, did he? Well, he had to have been up there.
He was up there. But Dr. Weck wrote in his report that the wounds were in all different directions and that victims of suicide don't stab themselves through clothing. So the thought is, like, if you're going to take your own life that way, like, you would remove any, like, hindrances to doing so. Dr. Weck was also able to get Ellen's spinal cord from the medical examiner for new testing. If you remember, the medical examiner ruled that it had been stabbed, but in an area where it would cause her to not feel pain anymore. However, Dr. Weck had the opposite conclusion. He said where it was stabbed would have rendered her completely unconscious, so not able to keep stabbing herself, and all of those stab wounds after the fact were done post-mortem.
I don't get the fact that autopsies can have such varied results, except for it being a shit person who's being influenced in some type of manner.
That's the problem, is you have like one person and it's just their opinion. There's not like a, I don't know, you can't have like five people working on it at one time. So Dr. Weck also said that Ellen had evidence of strangulation, something that was not noted in the original autopsy report.
That's nuts.
No words. I have no words at this point. This is ridiculous.
The last difference in reports was the blood pattern. The new report said that Ellen had been moved, judging off how the blood was smeared on the ground in the photos. So I guess Ellen was on her back at one point and Sam did prop her up on the lower cabinets. So while the Philadelphia Police Department weren't officially investigating, one of the homicide prosecutors in the city did look into the case off record. This guy's name is Guy DeAndrea.
Okay.
So he was the homicide prosecutor on Ellen's case while it was ruled as a homicide and then later closed as a suicide. He left to go into private practice, but he still strongly disagreed with the fact that it was changed to suicide. He actually did a Q&A on the case in 2015. He said that Sam's story didn't add up. Sam said he went and got the security guard Phil to come up to the condo, but Phil was interviewed and the camera showed that Phil never went up to the condo.
This is a mind-blowing case.
It is.
Nope. The cameras didn't show anyone unaccounted for going to the condo other than Sam. Sam also said he had to basically break down the door to get in, but the door was still intact. The like little knob ball part that's like, attached to the door on that lock was just kind of like ripped off a little bit.
What floor are they on? Do we know?
The sixth floor.
Okay. So no one's climbing up to her windows.
No. In a blizzard.
I'm sorry. There's only one answer, really.
Exactly. So yeah. Everyone say, this is not a suicide. We'll take it to the state. We'll get the case reopened. There was a hiccup, though, because the attorney the family hired ended up being elected as the Philadelphia district attorney, which, because of conflicts of interest, he could not investigate the case in his official position. He does, however, urge the state attorney general's office to reopen it, and they do look into it. It took them over a year to get back to the Greenberg family with their decision, and they said it was a suicide.
What?
Okay. Do they know something we don't? This is...
Yeah.
So they have new evidence. The state said between December 18th and January 10th, so a day before her death, Ellen had been researching methods of suicide on her computer.
How did we not know that before?
Philadelphia police never looked into anything.
That doesn't do much for me, though. It really doesn't. Just the physical aspect of how she would even do this to herself is what's stumping me.
I feel like, isn't there like a whole thing about like, if you stab yourself, you can't, how many times was she stabbed?
20.
You wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah, like you think your body would stop itself.
Right? I think even once I'd be like, can't do anymore. Nope.
No, I'm going to go over the searches that she allegedly searched. So suffocation, suicide methods, sex, fantasy death, model death, Zoloft, Prozac side effects, sertraline, which is a medicine, girl electrocuted to death trying to Twitter in the bath, Twitter bath death, quick suicide, euthanasia, and painless suicide.
Good. That's definitely not painless.
So her boyfriend went on her computer and did some Google searches.
That is a common thought because her computers were not password protected.
Even if they were, like, that's not, you know?
Yeah. And Sam and his cousin, uncle, lawyers had the computers.
Yep. Suffocation. That doesn't even make sense. Like, whatever.
Another, like, thing I kept seeing was that people were like, you know, you search one thing. Like, if you're researching a new medicine, you're on, like, Prozac. And you're looking at the side effects and like all those like weird things will pop up and you just like go down a weird rabbit hole. Like you're looking at Prozac side effects and then it has like suicide. And then you end up on like girl Twitter death in the bathtub.
Yes.
That happens in like 2 seconds. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it could be either of those options. In 2019, the Greenberg family hired a new attorney, Joe Pedraza, who took this case a step further. On behalf of the family, he sued the Philadelphia Medical Examiner's Office to change the manner of death. In the lawsuit, we found out a lot more evidence, which points to this being a homicide. Forensics and new pathology reports showed that two knives were used, not just the one found in Ellen's chest. This other knife has never been recovered. Next, another medical examiner said her spinal cord showed no signs of hemorrhaging or a viral response, confirming that Ellen did not have a pulse when her spinal cord was stabbed. Two different pathologists testified that the stab wound to the back of Ellen's neck was at a straight trajectory, and an impossible angle for Ellen to do herself. The forensic scientist also testified that Ellen had signs of manual strangulations and abrasions on both her wrists, indicative of ligatures. The original medical examiner, Dr. Osborne, did testify and say they weren't persuaded by the police or by anyone else. It's just that more evidence came to light. The attorney, Pedraza, asked Dr. Osborne if he had ever been reprimanded at work for record keeping or inaccurate conclusions. Dr. Osborne said no. This was a lie. There were reports of multiple errors from 2009 to 2011 in his autopsies where Dr. Osborne said the manner of death was suicide, despite sufficient evidence to prove it was a homicide. So this was not a one-off case for Dr. Osborne.
It's nuts.
At the conclusion of the suit, the city court said the Greenberg family didn't have standing and no lawsuit could make the medical examiner change their expert opinion.
I'm so confused by all of this right now. Like, because we... are firm believers, like, if something's going to court, it's most likely, and it's being tried, you know, like, there's got to be evidence that we don't know why they're choosing this way. If it was a one-off lawyer here and there, that I'm like, they're influenced, they're getting paid, whatever, they're bad lawyers. But when it's a court, that just, I don't know, is the whole court system where they are being paid off or something? Like, this just doesn't make any sense.
There's a little conspiracy.
Tell us, Kylie.
So James Schwartzman, the uncle lawyer, he is now a prominent judge in Pennsylvania.
Love it. All right, boom, right there.
And he is also very close with now Governor Josh Shapiro, who was the state attorney general at the time this case was looked into.
Okay, that literally answers all of my questions.
So in 2023, the Pennsylvania Appellate Court ruled against reopening the case as well. Do have some good news, because in July of 2024, the family took the case to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, and the case is going on right now.
Oh.
Josh and Sandy Greenberg named the city pathologist, the former chief medical examiner, and the two homicide detectives handling the case as defendants. The aim of the suit is to change the manner of death, and the family is also seeking compensation for intentionally causing emotional distress. The first hearing was on December 11th, 2024, and the presiding judge did say the city's suicide ruling was puzzling and is allowing the case to move forward. The next hearing is scheduled for January 21st, so next Tuesday, if you're listening to this episode when it drops. So something to look up, research. I'll provide updates. To wrap this up, I want to share more about who Ellen Greenberg was and how her death has impacted those close to her. Ellen was the granddaughter of a Holocaust survivor who later moved to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Like her mother and grandmother, Ellen played tennis in high school. After college, she worked as a teacher's aide for a special needs child during the day, and at night, she was working on getting her master's degree in order to teach. It was during this time that a friend set Ellen up on a blind date with who turned out to be Sam Goldberg. Sam kept in touch with Ellen's mom, Sandy, for a bit after her death, and every time Sandy said they knew it wasn't a suicide, Sam would go silent. Sam never spoke out publicly until right before Thanksgiving in 2024, when he wrote this following letter to CNN. Quote, "When Ellen took her own life, it left me bewildered. She was a wonderful and a kind person who had everything to live for. When she died, a part of me died with her. Unimaginably, in the years that have passed, I have had to endure the unimaginable passing of my future wife and the pathetic and despicable attempts to desecrate my reputation and her privacy by creating a narrative that embraces lies, distortions, and falsehoods in order to avoid the truth. Mental illness is very real and has many victims. I hope and pray that you never lose someone you love, like I did, to a terrible disease, and then be accused by ignorant and misinformed people of causing her death. If you're really writing a truthful story, dig deeper and please do some good by raising awareness for mental health." End quote.
Mental health awareness and still believe that this is not a suicide.
Yeah, but don't say he did it. So Sam got married in 2014. He has two children now. He lives in New York City. And fun fact, he has a podcast.
No, he doesn't.
I looked it up. It hasn't been updated since 2021. Yeah. Not recommending for anyone to listen.
No.
Don't listen. Sandy and Josh Greenberg now live down in South Florida, but are always back in Philadelphia, and they are now trying to get justice for their daughter. And that was the ongoing story of Ellen Greenberg.
Kylie, this was a really good one.
Yeah.
I'm stressed, though, because I'm pissed.
I was about to say, you look very frustrated.
Yeah. Where's the court case happening in New York? Where? Philadelphia?
Philadelphia.
Have we looked to see if there's any live recordings?
There's not for Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah, you're right. This is just a nuts case. You just don't understand the longer that a case is around stuff like this. The fact that every time somebody new looked into it, more evidence was found.
That's the problem. Like, even the reputable people that like weren't the city medical examiner.
Right.
You still miss things and things were found later.
Ligature marks, strangulation. I mean, there's so many.
Wow.
Things that should have been right off the bat.
How did he, so saying, if you say he did do it, you said that there was snow on the ground and there was no footprints leading to where? Didn't you say that in the beginning?
On the balcony outside.
Okay. And then the door is locked from the inside and it's a kind of lock that you have to physically like lock, you know, you can't use a key to lock it from the outside. So what is the exit point of someone that did kill her? Like, I'm confused.
That's a big question. I guess the theory is, like, if you're leaning on Sam or someone entering the apartment and going out the front door, is that when he slams the door, it engaged the lock.
Because remember, Holly, they said that this was actually a normal thing that happened at the apartment complex.
Okay. Okay.
You know, like that's that I feel like that's the only thing you could think of.
I also I feel like you could, like, if you crack the door and you're on the outside and kind of, I don't know, I feel like you can kind of like jimmy it the lock to lock behind you.
Yeah, no, I could see that. I'm sure it can be done if you YouTubed it.
Like, say Sam did it, he killed her, and then he like goes down to the gym to like create an alibi. I don't know why the whole lock and breaking down the door thing, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, why would you set that up? Who knows?
Because you're stupid. I don't know.
Stupid. Again, allegedly.
This is just
confusing.
Frustrating, yeah. I'm gonna, please, Kylie, keep us updated on this case. I mean, mm-hmm. I will also go and look at stuff, but I will be absolutely amazed if they come back saying it was suicide, you know, like Supreme Court wise, because that's like high.
I think for me to be okay with that is if they have like an actual video of her committing suicide.
Yeah, I feel like it too.
Like that would be it. Yeah. The only thing. Going to overtime.
Yes.
Overtime.
I really wanted to talk about your topic of, let's see, what was it? Things that should be legal that are illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a list. Give me a second.
She's very passionate about this one.
Yeah, I was like thinking about it the whole time and I couldn't say what I needed to say. I felt like it was, y'all go ahead first. I'll find mine.
Okay, the two that made me write that down is, I think if it's just like a four-way stop, you know, you turn right on red in America. I think if it's just like one lane, simple, you should turn left on red too.
Yes. And I also think that you should be able to run a stoplight if you can see in all directions that no one's coming.
Yes.
I mean, I'm sorry, but I will go, like, in my small town, I will sit at a red light and I can see in every direction miles down the road and I will just sit there and I'm like, I should be able to go.
So then that should just be turn on red. I don't think you should run one. Like, when you said that, I thought you meant like you're just going to go through it, like not stop at all. I think
it should be like a four-way stop situation. Like, you should stop.
Yeah.
Like, stop sign. Yeah. And then if it's a small town, like, I don't know, maybe that's a local thing that they can talk about, but I don't see the point of me sitting there when I can see miles down every direction.
Yeah.
Well, I think the problem are the lights that are on a timer instead of activated by weight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another one I want to say, loitering.
You want to loiter or you don't want to loiter?
No, I think it should not be illegal. Like, don't tell me where I can and can't stand and hang out.
In a public space, I understand. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like at a gas station?
Yeah. Like, let people do what they want to do, you know?
Yeah, it's a dumb one.
Like,
I think that's to an extent, though. I think there needs to be some type of cap.
I feel like they only use the loitering one to, like, go after homeless people.
Or, like, the saddest thing possible. Maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, what? But it's still, like, they didn't... Or young kids, like, loitering, like, kids, you know, like... hanging out in the Walmart parking lot, small town. Sorry, that happens where I'm from. But like, I don't know. It's just like, let me be this. I live here, you know, like this is my earth. I can
run this town.
I can stand and loiter wherever I want.
Loiter 2025.
Yeah.
Another one
on your agenda.
Oh, gambling.
Okay. Thoughts on gambling.
If I want to hold a gambling match of like a card game or something at my house, like, why should I not be able to do that?
That is weird. Like,
it's, you can, like, stupid.
Like, you make bets with people and like take their money. Why can't we play poker at my house and I take all your money?
Yeah, I'll give my money to whoever I want to get my money to. Who are you?
Just the control of society.
Yeah.
One thing that, you know, this isn't really a fun one, but if something is legal in one state and illegal in the other, that's some bullshit. That has to do with gambling. That's a game. Like, that could be gambling.
Yeah. The
biggest one that comes to my mind is weed. Like, I do not understand to this day how people are in jail or prison for weed.
Yeah, I'd be pissed.
It's illegal in so many states. Like, that's just, I'm not saying make it whatever. You want to do medical, you can do medical. You want to not, I don't know. But like, if something is legal in some states or any state, I just don't feel like people should be getting arrested in other states.
Agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agree. Another thing is like, if I drive my Florida car with my Florida dark tint to another state and the tint's illegal there, you can't pull me over because I have Florida license plates.
Okay. I don't know
you
nothing.
Can
about
or
that
you
one.
Can't be pulled over.
You shouldn't be.
Okay. I shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Yeah, like my tint's legal where my car is registered.
Yeah.
Three.
Yeah. Has this happened to you, Kylie?
I got a weird look.
No. Yeah.
I got a couple of people in North Carolina were like, I don't think that's legal. And I was like, it is where I live.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I feel like we might have talked about one last week that I said, but we didn't really go into detail. Okay. This is going to be controversial, but being drunk in public, I think to an extent, well, no, being drunk in public, do your own effing thing. Now, if they're harassing people, harassment, yes, get in trouble for it. If you're going nude, yes, get in trouble for it. But just being drunk out in the open, I feel like is not a crime.
Yeah. It's so stupid.
It's so stupid.
So dumb.
Like
walk out of a bar and you're
just chilling.
Yeah.
Like, don't drive drunk. Sure. Don't pull out your private part. Sure. Okay. Don't harass people. Don't be underage. All of those acceptable. But to just be public intoxication is just, I don't understand it.
All of mine have to do with driving. And this one might also be controversial. But if I have to like run into a store or something like really quick, I should be allowed to park in the handicapped spot real quick.
Absolutely not.
Okay, I knew
that was the dumbest.
You knew that was coming.
Kylie?
Just for like a minute.
No, absolutely not. Because you know the minute that you do that is somebody really needs it is going to be waiting for it.
Okay, but like we live in Florida. There's more handicapped parking spots than regular spots.
I do think that there might be less. Well, yeah, Florida.
I disagree, but we can agree to disagree.
I don't know. I feel like some people will agree.
Maybe they need an express lane, an express parking. Nobody's going to...
Ooh, like speaking of... Yeah, speaking of handicap spots, this should be a law, okay? Not the opposite way. All pregnant women should be able to park in handicap spots.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you should get a handicap thing when you're pregnant.
Yeah.
For that firsthand, baby, because people do not care if you're pregnant. Mm-hmm. They do not care about you.
In Japan, they do that.
Oh, the rest of the world does a lot of better things when it comes to families and whatnot.
People are going to agree with me on the handicap parking spot, but they will not publicly say so. And just know I hear you guys and I see you guys.
There's one that I have. We'll leave on this note because I feel like it is the most important thing that should be legal and is not. All right, you guys ready? Jaywalking.
Good one.
Yep.
Why?
If I get hit, that's my own problem.
Right. Like that. Why is that a crime?
Yeah, that's on you, boo. You know, like, I'll walk wherever I want.
I jaywalk all the time.
Yeah.
My FBI agent's probably listening to me right now and writing that down, but that's just that's a crazy one.
Jaywalks.
Hey, don't hit Kate with your car while she's out jaywalking, guys.
Try me.
And with that, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Over My Dead Pod. We'll see you next week with another case. And be sure to follow, like, subscribe, all the things. Check us out on social media. Over My Dead Pod. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.